It's being reported this morning that at least 21 people have died in an attack on an area where displaced Palestinians were being forced to shelter in tents. The attack happened in Al-Mawasi in western Rafah, which had been designated by Israel as a humanitarian area. The Israeli military has denied reports that it shelled the camp. It follows an Israeli airstrike on Sunday, which resulted in a fire that killed at least 45 Palestinians living in tents at a camp for displaced people there. Israel has said the fire could have been caused by weapons stored in the vicinity by Hamas. We're joined now from Jerusalem by Reuters correspondent Dan Williams. Dan, good morning. Thanks for joining us. And Dan, first to yesterday's attack on a camp for displaced Palestinians on the west coast of Rafah. What is known about that attack this morning, and what is Israel saying about who is responsible for it?
As you noted, Israel's account is that it carried out a strike some 1.7 kilometres away on two significant figures from Hamas, the enemy it's fighting in this war, and that as a consequence or in connection or in coincidence with that attack, there was a conflagration at that encampment just around a mile away, which it says may have been caused by the ignition of a munitions stockpile there kept by Palestinians. What the Israeli military has said is it does not know exactly what might have caused that explosion, that fire, but it says the munitions it used in its strike on the two Hamas members were two 17-kilo bombs. 17 kilo is very small for aerial munitions, and indeed Israel says these are the smallest aerial munitions it has, which is used hundreds of times previously. So presumably it knows how they function and what they don't do. And it says they would not have been enough to cause that conflagration, which caused all the civilian casualties.
And you're referring there to this attack on Sunday, Dan. There was a second attack on a separate camp then yesterday, in which it's reported that there were 21 people killed. But what's known about the circumstances of that?
Indeed, and thank you for drawing the distinction. So these are two woeful back-to-back events, obviously coming at an especially fraught time for all parties involved, given that Israel is moving on Rafah and is under especially intense scrutiny, including by the United States. So yesterday afternoon, Palestinians reported an explosion, which they said resulted from an Israeli airstrike, killing 21 people, many, perhaps all of them, civilian. And there was some very strong footage from that scene. Israel, the Israeli military, said immediately that it was not familiar with this event, meaning this event did not appear to have been a result of its operations. And then some hours later, it issued a denial that this event was a result or in connection with any military operation. So I'm not sure if we're to weigh up both accounts, we can even call this an attack. According to the Palestinians, it was. According to Israel, a flat-out denial.
Okay. Now, in relation to the airstrike on Sunday, which, as you mentioned there, we saw some horrific footage emerge from that strike. 45 people are dead. There are over 100 have been wounded. Israel's ally, the United States, has said that it does not believe that attack crosses President Biden's red lines. How important is that a statement for Israel?
Well, it's extremely important because Israel, though it states that it's working in its own defense and it has autonomy and independence, obviously, in that respect, it does look to the United States for partnership, for alliance, and indeed for weapons supplies, including during an ongoing war. And this will soon be Israel's longest war, the longest war in its history. Now, President Biden had explicitly warned Israel when it came to the what was then the pending Rafah operation that there was a red line there. The Biden administration actually withheld a shipment of bombs, especially large bombs, saying it did not think these were appropriate for densely built up areas with a large civilian population. There was a specific warning about bombs and the civilian density around Rafah, although albeit now very much thinned out because something like 80 or 70% of the civilians there had left following Israeli evacuation orders. So initial reports are actually allegations by the Palestinians that Israel had used 2,000-pound bombs there would have been especially touchy for the Israeli-American alliance, which is, I think, why the Israelis were fairly quick about coming out and saying the exact opposite was the case. Very small bombs were used, and as they tell it, the fire that caused all these deaths in the encampment could not have been a direct result of those munitions.
Israeli tanks are now in the centre of Rafah. Is there a full-scale invasion or incursion underway there now?
It has been a staggered operation. It began just over 3 weeks ago. It began on the outskirts in the east to the south along the Egyptian border, some to the west. And as you noted, yesterday Israeli armour was spotted in the middle of Rafah. There's a landmark in the town centre. There are some indications, by the way, those may be remote-operated armored vehicles. So if that's true, Israel is moving very carefully in terms of exposing troops. But yes, Israel has said openly that it will take this city. It said that it must take this city. It said there's no victory in Gaza possible without taking this city, because as it puts it, some one quarter of Hamas's military strength is now concentrated there, and this is a strategic city that must fall. So yes, there is an invasion underway. It's been slow going. It's also involved the evacuation or the flight of civilians, and I think it's a done deal. The question is, how long will it take, and will U.S. patients run out?
We'll be hearing later in the program from the World Health Organization about the concerns they've expressed in relation to the medical aid in Rafah. But it is being reported this morning that aid deliveries by the United States to Gaza have been suspended. What can you tell us about that?
I think you're referring to the U.S. pier. It was actually announced some time ago by President Biden in his State of the Union address, a major appearance, annual appearance by the U.S. president, a pier costing something in the order of $400 million set up by the U.S. military to allow the offloading by sea of aid arriving by sea in Gaza. Gaza is a coastal territory, and it appears because of weather conditions, the pier functioning has been disrupted. As of yesterday, it appears that those aid deliveries have been suspended by sea. However, there are alternatives. There are overland crossings, including, I believe, two crossings opened by Israel on the Gaza border. There's the Rafah crossing with Egypt, where transfers have been suspended recently. But as an alternative, Israel has been taking some aid through its own border with Egypt and Gaza. And also there have been airdrops from various foreign air forces. So yes, a major and a showcase aid delivery system appears to have been suspended, but there are alternatives in place.
Okay, Dan, thank you very much indeed for talking to us this morning. That's Dan Williams, Reuters correspondent in Jerusalem.